It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Lot to get to with Mike Dubusky talking about the tech world today. Mike, hope you're doing well. I want to start, if we could, with something that's expected to be passed by the Senate a little later on today. A couple of bills aimed at online safety for kids. And what exactly this might do, because we talk about online safety and, you know, Mike, quite frankly, it means something different to just about everybody, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And that is the thrust of this new bill that is set to be voted on by the Senate later today, as you said. It's called the Kids Online Safety Act. It's aimed really at giving more options to younger users specifically. So if you're a minor on these platforms, meaning Facebook or Instagram or X or others, what this bill aims to do is force these tech companies that own these platforms to give those users the option to opt out of things like targeted advertising or particularly addictive practices that these companies engage in, things like sending notifications after a certain part of the night, or getting people into these sort of scrolling video feeds that are very addictive and hard to get out of at times. Essentially putting more control in the hands of the users and in some cases their parents as well. It is uncertain whether this bill is going to pass in full in the House, though there does seem to be bipartisan support for something being done. This is the first real substantive piece of legislation aimed at protecting children online since the late 90s. So it's a pretty historic piece of legislation. But as I said, it does have a somewhat uncertain future.
We were talking about this earlier, and you know, it's different now. It used to be that you could keep an eye on what your kids were looking at online because the computer was in the family room, right?
Right.
It's not that way.
Right. That's true. And I mean, this is something that, you know, we've observed have major ripple effects across many aspects of our lives. But when the internet stopped being like a room that you go to, the computer room, and started being something that is around us at all times, and our phones and our watches and you know, desktop computers and laptops and what have you, that marked a major shift. And that has had a big impact on how kids are raised as well. Parenting experts will tell you that in lieu of any substantive legislation going forward, it's important to track what your kids do online to make sure that not just what they're putting out there is safe, but also who they are communicating with is a legitimate person. And also, make sure that if your kid is really young, just be in the room when they're playing around with an iPad or a piece of technology, because you never know what side of that technology they're going to find themselves on. But of course, it's also worth mentioning, guys, that detractors of this legislation say that this could infringe on the First Amendment rights of some of these kids who are maybe a little bit older. And, you know, these platforms actually provide them some level of security and community where they would otherwise not find it. So that is another piece of this. As I said, it's a pretty hotly debated piece of legislation, but a significant one.
Is there any pushback? Have we heard from, because we have a lot of people clamoring for, what are you going to do to protect my kid online? There's online safety, social media, age, things, right? Here in New York, we had a social media bill for kids to help them. That passed recently. Have we ever heard like a pushback from a lawmaker who says, you know, hey, you keep looking at me. You don't have to give your 10-year-old a phone and an iPad.
Sure. I mean, that there are plenty of detractors, as I said, to this legislation from both sort of the activist front, but also from the legislative front as well, who say that there's a more sophisticated way, essentially, to go about this instead of just policing your child's every move, and so on and so forth. But again, the mental health crisis among young people that many have written about is real and is in large part motivated by these platforms and some of the addictive practices that they engage in. It's unclear how this legislation is going forward. And I think there are some very legitimate questions out there about its effectiveness going forward. But still, something has to be done, according to many parents. And this seems to be, one way to go about doing doing it. But there is some road left to be driven down before anything really substantively changes just yet.
Do you have any suggestions for parents today on how they can best monitor what their kids are doing?
Man, I think it's a balance. It's a tough question. You know, I am a little out of sorts because I don't have children, and I obviously don't, feel comfortable speaking to the specific ins and outs of parenting. But, you know, I think it's important to make sure that your kid feels listened to by, the adult in the room and the parents in the room. I think a lot of this is going to stem from trusting your child, monitoring their every move online. Sure, that might sound like a great idea, in theory, but in practice, your kid is maybe not going to totally go for that. Whether the alternative is a great answer, I don't know. But again, it's a thorny issue, certainly.
AI in search. We've been kind of dealing with this for a little while now. How is ChatGPT's new Search GPT going to be better than the Google, which, quite frankly, Mike, I've only heard complaints about?
Yeah. So you're right to make the Google comparison there, because Google has been playing around with an AI version of their search function, and it's encountered some problems. It was not that long ago that system called AI Overviews was telling people to put glue on pizza and to eat rocks and do all sorts of absurd things. Now, OpenAI has a competitor to that that product called SearchGPT. If you've played around with ChatGPT, which is OpenAI's sort of flagship product, it's going to feel very familiar. SearchGPT is a text box that you can type questions into, and then the system is going to present you with a block of AI-generated text as an answer. The difference between these two products is that this has real-time access to the internet, unlike ChatGPT. That means you can ask it about current events and sports scores and news and that type of thing, and it will cite its sources in its response to you, so says OpenAI. However, there are a lot of reasons to raise your eyebrows about the effectiveness and accuracy of this technology. Even in OpenAI's own promo video for SearchGPT, it had a hallucination, a mistake. So that, I think, is part of the reason why OpenAI is rolling this out in a very limited way at first. Only 10,000 users have access to it at start. And I think part of that is to cut down on some of these embarrassing moments that we've seen, not just from OpenAI's own technology, but from Google and some of their other competitors as well.
Is it free to start?
Again, to these users, it's sort of like a beta program. You have to be chosen to do it. How they're going to monetize this going forward is an open question. How Google makes money is by advertising, right? Through placing advertisements alongside its search results. There isn't really that revenue stream in the artificial intelligence space just yet. And there has been a lot of reporting recently about how, given the amount of capital and energy that goes into running these systems, they're going to have to figure that out pretty quickly. Otherwise, this thing is going to be dead in the water. Rolling out, we're going to see how OpenAI plans to do that, to strategize, whether it is a subscription service or whether it's a advertising-based sort of idea. But we just don't know the answers to those questions yet. But presumably, we will once this rolls out more broadly.
Okay. Hey, Mike, thank you for the time this morning. Appreciate it. Mike Tobusky joining us with a look at the tech world.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.